If you look off into the nearest hills, you might see some brown trees in there among the green. That would not be an issue if it were autumn. But it is summer, and brown generally means a dead tree. A recently published scientific paper says there are more than 12 million dead trees in California, and it goes into the reasons why those trees died. The paper is called Tree Mortality from Drought, Insects, and Their Interactions in a Changing Climate. Naomi Teague is an associate professor at the Bren School of Environmental Science and Management at the University of California, Santa Barbara. She's one of many people listed as authors of the report, and she's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Naomi, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So 16 authors altogether, including you, but this is the product of a working group. Can you explain the process here?
Yes. So this was part of an NCES, the National Center for Ecological Analysis and Synthesis, which is an organization that brings together scientists from all over the world often, puts us in a room together, locks us in a room, and says, you know, we all look at trees and drought stress from different perspectives. And so put us in a room together and try to develop a synthesis paper that kind of pulls together from the little pieces of research that we're all doing. So what NCES does is it sponsors these working groups to kind of bring us together and do more synthesis rather than individual research projects.
All right, so not a lot of new information being collected just for this, but yeah, collecting other bits of study.
Yes, exactly. Putting things to, you know, putting all the lines of evidence together to try to get, you know, the whole picture.
So you're starting from the basis of climate change already underway. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure. Yeah, we are.
All right. So are there pre-climate change baselines to look at, for example, though?
Oh, for sure. You know, droughts have certainly happened in the past. Insect attacks have happened in the past. We certainly believe that climate change increases the frequency and probably severity of these types of behaviors. But, you know, droughts happen all the time. Trees have died, you know, insect outbreaks have happened in the past. And so we really try to learn a lot from those.
So how do you separate them out, though? I mean, how do you figure out that this is, you know, drought because it's a drought, or this is drought because of climate change, et cetera?
Well, you know, that is actually a question for climatologists rather than for us. But, you know, we do all kinds of things looking at long-term climate records. One of the things that makes the current drought, for example, really problematic for some trees is not only is the precipitation low, but it's also warmer. And from the tree's perspective, putting those things together increases the level of stress.
And then what happens when you get stress on the trees with the insects? I mean, they're opportunists, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit, figuring out why a tree dies is a little bit, I like to use the analogy of, you know, when a person passes away, right, sometimes, you know, did they die of the heart attack or did they die because they ate really poorly and they were in general poor health and so that allowed them to get the heart attack or the pneumonia, right? Is it the fact that they're in poor physical condition or is it the disease itself? The same thing is sort of true with trees. When they're drought stress, you can imagine that in a way that means they're not eating very well. They can't photosynthesize as effectively, so essentially their defenses are weak. So that makes it easier for the insects, who are basically there all the time, to come in, and it makes it easier for them to attack. And then the insects themselves respond to climate in kind of complicated ways. Sometimes warmer temperatures help them, sometimes it hurts them. It depends on the particular insect. But from the tree's perspective, the problem is that they're stressed, so they have less resources to allocate to defenses.
We are talking to Naomi Teague, an associate professor at the Bren School of Environmental Science and Management at UC Santa Barbara, part of the working group that put together this study called Tree Mortality from Drought, Insects, and Their Interactions in a Changing Climate. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about dead trees and how they got dead. 800-838-3760 around the region by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. So everybody has really focused, it seems like, on the death of 12 million trees. Over what period?
You know, that's a good question, and I can't remember. I think it's over but certainly within the last decade.
All right, so recent anyways. It's not like,
yes,
you know, okay. All right, and then so confined to any land type? Are we talking just national forests or federal land or just all over California?
you know, a lot of this work is done in national forests. Land. But, I mean, we see the same pattern. Sometimes we use satellite, you know, there's different ways for us to get these kinds of estimates. One of the things we use is satellite remote sensing data, because you can see a dead tree from space. And so that allows us to get this kind of synoptic regional picture of what's going on.
And are they evergreens, deciduous? Are they all, is it sort of an equal opportunity killer?
Well, no. I think certainly some species are more vulnerable. We do see vulnerabilities in some species more than others, but that varies by geographic region. You can kind of think of, you know, trees that are at the edge of their natural range are going to be the ones that are most vulnerable. And then it also depends on the type of insect that's attacking. Some insects like to eat one type of conifer, but not another type of conifer. We focused a lot on conifers because conifers are very prevalent throughout the western U.S., but we've seen mortality in deciduous trees as well.
All right, so all kinds of trees dying. I understand that the short answer then is that, you know, to whether they're killed by drought or bugs is yes. Combination.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Nicely said.
All right, so here again, they can be weakened by the drought, and then the beetles will finish them off, and it is often bark beetles, is that right?
It's sometimes bark beetles, but there's a number of different, there's different types of moths, there's different types of fungus. It depends on, you know, where you are and what tree. And I would also say that there's some evidence that there may be situations where the drought itself kills the tree without insects. There are some situations where we have some dead trees as a part of a drought, and we really can't find any evidence of insects. That's not as common, but... And in that case, we think, you know, what's potentially killing the tree is they just simply can't photosynthesize enough to survive. Again, you could sort of think about that as starving to death. We're not completely sure how often that happens, but it seems like maybe occasionally it does.
So, Naomi, do we know for sure that the rate of tree death is increasing based on historical records?
You know, those kinds of things are always hard to tease out because we need a much longer record to be able to figure out for sure. But there's no question that more trees die during warm, hot droughts. So that's for sure true.
Let's tease out the actual mechanism then of the 1-2 punch, if in fact it happens that way for a tree, where they get drought stressed and then the insects take over. What is the tree unable to do to fend off bugs?
Well, so trees manufacture, just like people, certain chemicals that help repel those insects. They can develop a kind of sap-like material that can prevent the beetles from burrowing in. You can think of also some insects attack by defoliation, by eating the leaves, right? If you're not making a lot of material, it's harder to replace those leaves. So there's a number of different mechanisms that trees have evolved to use to fend off attacks by, you know, a variety of different pathogens and insects. And so, but when you're stressed, you basically are just running out of resources to allocate to those types of defenses. And the other thing, you know, a lot of the ways in which the different insects kill trees actually makes them more vulnerable to the drought. So, for example, beetles can go in and they essentially affect the plumbing system of the tree, which in a way makes it even more water stressed. So it's very much like a positive feedback loop.
It really is. It's a very much a cycle, as you pointed out now, because you know the beetles can weaken the trees for the drought to take them out, or the drought can weaken the trees for the beetles to take them out.
Right. You know, and many of these bugs are there all the time, but the trees, you know, trees will lose some needles, a few trees will die, but they're much better able to fend them off, so to speak. So the population of insects don't explode. There are cases where we get insect attacks where there aren't drought, but where there isn't drought, there's something about the insect, it manages to get its foot in the door anyway, but, you know, the drought really increases the likelihood that that's going to happen.
We're talking about the big tree die-off in California as published in a recent scientific paper, Tree Mortality from Drought Insects and Their Interactions in a Changing Climate. Naomi Teague at the University of California, Santa Barbara was one of the 16 authors of the report. and she joins us on The Exchange. You can join us with your questions and comments at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I'm looking for symbols here that you can look for in particular trees. I mean, if you're seeing lots of pitch tubes, for example, where it looks like the trees have been fighting off bugs, does that indicate that they're still healthy or that they have fought off invasion successfully, or does it indicate much of anything?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And one of the advantages of having 16 authors is, you know, different people have different expertise. My expertise is actually mathematical modeling. So I'm one of the people that uses computer models to kind of project forward how much drought we're going to get in the future and how much water plants actually have available. The ecophysiologist would be better able to answer that question. So I'm not really sure.
Okay. One of the things I have heard for decades, Naomi, is people complaining that once bugs get a foothold in a particular stand of trees or a section of forest, you should remove lots of bug-kill trees to take away food supply for them. Is that at all addressed in the report?
I think we mention it, but there are other, you know, there are other scientific papers out there that address that issue. And, you know, scientists love to have this answer, but I think it's because it's often true that there are cases where that is true. There are places where that won't help, but there probably are places where, yes, at some point, you know, you can starve the insects, right? Insects need healthy trees, and if you don't have a lot of, you know, food for them, it eventually affects their population.
We have a call here. Let's go to Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Naomi Teig.
Thank you. What about the sudden oak death syndrome, and what has the drought effect on that has been? Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Ann.
That's a good question. We didn't look at sudden oak death as part of this. You know, I think sudden oak death has largely been attributed to, you know, the ability for that particular pathogen to spread within California. I'm not really sure how strongly that can be linked to drought.
Well, I wonder then, in a more general question, if the paper assesses what the drought might do to allow other opportunistic infections, if you want to think of it in that way, to spread throughout trees.
Well, again, you know, of course, it's a complicated answer, right? Sometimes, you know, and it's a combination really of drought and temperatures together. And some, particularly temperatures, have a big impact on insect populations, right? So we're seeing, for example, some insects moving into northern parts of Canada and the boreal forest in places that we didn't used to see them in large numbers, largely because things have gotten warmer and that allows them to make it through the winter in a particular way. But there are situations, too, where high temperatures will actually be detrimental to the pathogen or the insect population. So there's a kind of, it depends on the insect, it depends on where you are geographically, how climate affects the insect population.
You know, you mentioned the bugs moving north. I wonder if you're starting to see expanded ranges northward of certain tree species as well, if that was part of this.
You know, it takes a while for, you can imagine, bugs can move more quickly than trees, right?
Sure.
It takes a long time for trees to expand into different ranges. So I suspect we will start to see that, but you can imagine it takes a while. You're in a way, one of the things that forests have going for them is once they're established, right, they actually preclude other tree species coming in there unless there's a fire or an insect infestation that wipes out a bunch of trees that allows another tree to take hold. But we do worry that these types of disturbances, both bugs but also fire, are one of the ways that allow species compositions of trees to change with climate, right? For a while, they have a certain amount of resilience, like I said, because, you know, once a forest is established, it kind of keeps itself established. But once you have a disturbance, it allows for different types of species or different invasives to come in. So you can imagine if you have a big mortality event or a big fire, and now we're in a different climate regime, what comes back may not be the forest that was there before.
So you mentioned something about the satellites earlier, and I'm just wanting to ask about the tools for collecting data, if those get a lot better as the years go by.
Oh, certainly. I mean, we are so much able to understand large-scale patterns in forests than we were before kind of the modern era of remote sensing. And remote sensing tools keep improving as well. We're able to look at things at finer resolution in space and also get more frequent pictures of what's going on. So that allows us to track change. We've also gotten better, though, at the really fine-scale measurements, right? We can use different isotopes, different chemicals to track what water the trees are using. We're able to go in and actually almost do post-mortems on dead trees to try to figure out what killed them. So both at a really micro scale, our tools, our ability to use different chemicals to trace what's happening at really fine scales has improved, but then our ability to use remote sensing has improved. And then from my own work, actually our ability to use kind of complex mathematics and computer models to look at how different systems work together has improved. So science is in a new era because we have all of these tools at our disposal.
So Naomi, what did we do with the information in this paper about tree mortality?
You know, that's a really good question. So on one hand, you know, you have a drought stress and I was just recently up in Sequoia National Park actually a couple of days ago, and we're starting to see, needle drop and dead needles on giant sequoias, which of course is disturbing. But there's not much you can do in the immediate, you know, once a tree is drought stressed, it's drought stressed, unless you want to go in and water it. And clearly we're not going to go in and start watering our national forests. But I think there, in a bigger planning sense, there are things that we can do because we know we're going to get more droughts like this. And I think one thing is we have to broaden our perspective on conservation. It's a little bit like stocks. If we try to preserve one national park to get all of our iconic forests in that one national park, but they may be vulnerable. We need to preserve, I think, larger areas if we want to preserve certain tree species.
A broader view of the landscape, then.
You need a broader view of the landscape. I mean, there are also in some regions, and I emphasize some, mm-hmm. where years of fire suppression have resulted in denser forests. And in those places, things like prescribed burns can actually reduce the water stress of trees.
Okay, so lots of ways forward here. The paper is called Tree Mortality from Drought Insects and Their Interactions in a Changing Climate. Naomi Teague, Associate Professor at UC Santa Barbara, one of the authors of it. Naomi, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're very welcome.